Here's some of what we heard yesterday from our guest, Jeannie Pernia.
I did not associate that women's clinic with abortion. As far as I knew, it was for women who needed routine care as far as their yearly paps. And I knew that they did give out birth control. I was working there for a very short time, just a couple of months. And shortly after that, my mom moved also back to Florida. And I told her to apply for the position because she was looking for work. And that's exactly where our life started to kind of get involved in the abortion industry. There was this one beautiful Cuban girl, and she had come in several times. And I remember that she was probably on her fourth procedure. And I told her, you know, you got to stop this. You know, this cannot be just a normal practice for you. I really believed in my mind, in my very naive mind, that this gentleman and I would have a future and that he would be my knight in shining armor. And so when I did get pregnant, I was ecstatic. I was happy. I was like, wow, you know. When I did share it with him, immediately he looked at me and said, well, you know, I don't think this is a good idea. And immediately he said, you know, we have the clinic. And I said, wait a minute. I says, the clinic is there for the women who don't want their babies. That is not my story. I want my baby. And by the second weekend, which would have put me right about 7 weeks, I called the doctor on a Saturday. And I told him, listen, I need for you to come tomorrow because nobody will be here. I don't want anybody else to know. We are going to do the procedure on a Sunday. Within 7 weeks, I told my mom, I think we need to do another pregnancy test. And sure enough, the test was positive. And I told her, please, I will not go through that again. You've got to keep my secret.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of Choosing Gratitude, for Friday, January 17th, 2020.
This next week marks the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision in the United States that legalized abortion in every trimester of a woman's pregnancy. And each year here on Revive Our Hearts, we try to mark this occasion as a reminder to pray and to get involved in whatever ways the Lord would lead. I think of my sweet husband who often says, oh, honey, what about the babies? It's about the babies. He just carries this huge concern on his heart for the babies. And Robert's compassion for those babies has touched my own heart deeply as well. So we don't want to become complacent in the face of this nationwide, worldwide tragedy. Yesterday, we began listening to a dramatic story from Jeannie Pernia. If you missed any of it, you can hear it at reviveourhearts.com. Dana, we heard about how Jeannie worked in a couple different abortion clinics and how she chose to end the life of her own child.
Yes, but we ended on a high note as Jeannie heard about Jesus, chose to say no to her boyfriend's pressure, and give birth to her daughter.
But there's a lot more to this story.
Yeah, it's a complicated, complex story. In fact, Jeannie's mom actually owned an abortion clinic, and her business partner had been Jeannie's boyfriend. But in a twist of events, the relationship with that man, for both her mom as a business partner and Jeannie as a boyfriend, that relationship ended.
We did decide that we were going to sell my mom's portion of this business, and she was going to open up another clinic in another area of the city, and we were going to start also doing plastic surgery. So that's what we did.
At this new clinic, one procedure in particular didn't go according to plan.
A woman who had just been put under anesthesia, and the anesthesiologist was there, and all of a sudden, she started to have a respiratory attack where she wasn't breathing. And I remember the doctor literally getting up on the table and literally massaging and beating on her heart. And she started to, you know, to come back, to start breathing again. And that was like really, really scary, because when she was back in the recovery room, I remember walking by and just saying to myself, wow, man, this lady almost didn't make it.
That wasn't the only scare. This clinic didn't have any ultrasound technology. Doctors would measure with a measuring tape to determine how many weeks along women were in their pregnancy. One woman came in for this kind of exam.
And based on the tape measure, they figured that she was about maybe 14, 15 weeks, which is considered a second trimester abortion.
But there was a problem. The baby had turned in the woman's uterus and was positioned horizontally. The doctor's measurement was way off.
So that evening, they prepped her up. They got her what they call a dilator. They began to dilate her. What happened was during the evening, I guess maybe as her uterus was dilating, this baby turned. And so when they went to measure her, they realized that this baby was not 14 or 15 weeks. She was more 24, 25 weeks. And so immediately the first response that my mom was is we had to call rescue. We needed to get this girl to the hospital because this procedure was not going to be done. And in the midst of that, someone had called the police. They had called the television station. And so by the time I came to the back, I saw what was going on. And I walked in and I looked at my mom and I said, can you tell me what's going on? You've got Channel 7 News. And, you know, what's happening? She says, no, no, we're going to get this girl to the hospital because we cannot do this for her here. And what ended up happening was my mother was arrested. And so was, at that time, she was married to one of the abortion doctors. She had recently married somebody else. And the girl who came to have the abortion ended up having the child. The baby was born. It was a baby girl. I know nothing. I don't know what happened. I don't know any of that. But the case was brought before the legal courts here, and my mother and at that time her husband were both tried and they were sentenced to 1 year. And for my mom, that meant because it was 1 year, she had to do that 1 year in the county jail. So it was pretty devastating what happened with the second business.
Florida law has changed since then to allow abortion after 24 weeks. The law says the procedure is allowed in the case of life or health endangerment.
It's hard for me to fathom the law that's currently, you know, being, I mean, it's been, in, as a matter of fact, even in the state of Florida, women can have abortions up until the day that they're going to have their babies for whatever reason. But back then, anything past a second trimester was like unthinkable.
While visiting this new clinic where Jeannie's mom had gotten in trouble, Jeannie met a young man.
My daughter was about 6 months old, and he had just come from Cuba. And he had seen my little girl out in the waiting area with my roommate, and he just put his eyes on her and told my roommate, what a beautiful little girl. Where are you, her mom? And she said, no, her mom's inside. And sure enough, we met. We started dating.
Jeannie and this man got married and moved to New York. Now, do you remember on yesterday's program, Jeannie had made a profession of faith? She prayed a prayer and thought she was right with God. But Jeannie's life didn't show any evidence that God had truly changed her. She wasn't displaying new life in Christ.
I think that although I had made that connection with God, I think I felt somewhat relieved of my sins from before, but I wasn't committed yet. And I started, you know, dating this man who, I mean, when he came from Cuba, he walked into a home with a friend of his, and this family was probably the biggest drug marijuana people in the city. In Cuba, this guy was a merchant marine. He had gone to college, you know, this. It wasn't like this is what he came here to do, but he landed in this house. They gave him a brand new car and they put him to work in one of their boutique stores. And so it was almost like, wow, if this is America, you know, I mean, his whole mindset was totally twisted. Obviously, I knew that that was, you know, not the lifestyle that we wanted, but he tried to keep a lot of it secret from me. But eventually, I mean, we fell into the money and the partying.
Like he had done earlier in the story, God brought a faithful woman into Jeannie's life.
And she saw me with these three children on a cold New York City snowy day. And I think this woman could, the Spirit led her to me because I was pretty much at my wit's end. I was almost suicidal. I was so depressed. My husband was out. He wouldn't show up for days. And she asked me, she says, "You seem very, very distraught. Can I help you?" And I said, "Yes." I says, "I am very distraught." She says, "Well, would you allow me to pray for you?" And I said, "Yeah, why not? You know, nothing else is working. Why don't you pray for me?" And she asked me if I would be willing to have her come with some people to pray at my house. And I said, "Yes, I would like for you to come and pray." Meanwhile, I was still dabbling in the other stuff. And the day that she came to my house, it was like, I'm grateful that my husband stood next to me that day because he was home the day that they came. And we both accepted the Lord. And this time I was willing to change my life. Talk about grabbing the Bible. She had highlighted many verses in the Psalms. And I started to pray them every night and I would fast. And all of a sudden things were happening. Things that I knew were supernatural. My husband would show up and he would say, "You know, we need to get out of this town. We need to leave all this behind." The Bible worked. I prayed and things were happening. She helped me get out all of that other stuff that had anything to do with that other religion out of my house. And within 3 months, God delivered us, me and my three children and my husband, through this woman and her church, because they would come by the house and they would pick me up with my kids. I was baptized within 3 weeks of meeting her. And they were the ones that took us to the airport and got us out of New York City.
Wow. It's such a joy to be reminded of the incredible transformation God can make in a life. Now, even though Jeannie and her husband's hearts had changed, it didn't mean their external situations got easier. Just the opposite. Jeannie's husband had been completely forgiven by God through the blood of Christ, but he'd still broken the law and had to face the consequences of his choices. And that led to a huge transition in Jeannie's life.
What? I'm coming to El Paso with three kids?
This new chapter found Jeannie moving to Texas to be near her husband as he served a prison term.
That was another very difficult part. I had three babies, and my husband was locked up in a federal penitentiary in a city. I had to look for the map because I didn't even know where El Paso was.
For the third time, the Lord brought a mature, godly woman into Jeannie's life, this time in El Paso.
And she took me under her wing when I told her what had happened, and she said, "Don't worry."
And once again, the body of Christ sprang into action to help this family.
I saw God provide everything. I mean, everything. Everything was provided. A home for me to live in, a job. My husband was able from the prison to get me a car through somebody else who said, "Listen, his wife needs a car to go to work." And a church, an amazing church that was within walking distance with pastors that knew my situation. I mean, it was work, church, you know, and my kids and going to visit my husband. That was my life for 3.5 years. And God met every one of my needs amazingly.
Wow. Well, we've been through a lot of twists and turns in Jeannie's story, Nancy.
It seems like there could hardly be more.
Well, you'd think so. But after 3 years, Jeannie's husband got out of prison and the family headed back to Miami, where this story actually began. And the first surprise was when Jeannie's mom came to visit because she saw Jesus in her daughter.
She noticed when she came to visit me in Miami after we had moved back, And it was about 2 weeks or 3 weeks later that she came to Christ and went to church with me.
And in the final chapter of this story, Jeannie was called to again get involved with women considering abortion.
Back in January of 2005, my pastor had invited Reverend John Ensor from Boston to come and speak at our church at Sanctity of Life Week. And I'm at my church, and he comes, and one of the other members of the church decides to stand up, and she starts talking about her experience with abortion. Now, I hadn't heard the word abortion, or don't recall hearing it at all, for 27 years. And so after she shares all of her testimony, everything that I had shoved down started to come up, and I started to remember what I had done. And then the Reverend starts to talk about there's 7 abortion businesses in the city of Hialeah. Now I'm actually looking for the exit sign. I want out of this building, because I couldn't help but realize that this was my seed. I had the first one, and now that I'm back, there's 7 more. I mean, I literally got sick to my stomach. And I remember that by the end of the service, I knew I had to meet this man. And as I walked out and I walked up to him, he reminds me that I said, "Pastor, I need to help you stop what I began." And I remember that he stood there and he said, "Well, how do you feel about being a part of a real pregnancy help center?" And I'm like, "Absolutely. You know, what do I need to do?"
Jeannie began working with churches to help begin a pregnancy care center in her area. While visiting one church, she came across a woman who'd come to the abortion clinic where Jeannie had worked many years earlier.
And actually, I heard this woman's voice. My back was to her, but I knew I had heard that voice, and I placed that voice at the clinic. And when I turned around, her eyes met my eyes. She remembered me and I remembered her, and we just embraced. And she was able to go through the after abortion class.
Jeannie was looking for a place in Miami to begin a pregnancy care center, but there was one corner she was tempted to avoid. Do you remember on yesterday's program, Jeannie and her mom had opened an abortion clinic on a busy corner?
It is a very visible corner on, as I said, probably the busiest intersection in the city. It was about, I'd say, maybe 2,500 square feet.
As she worked to start this new ministry, her search for a building took her back to that corner.
So one Saturday, I drove by and I was literally, my body was shaking because I kept thinking, what if they're still doing that? But I saw on the window that it said Diagnostic Medical. And then I looked over to the left and there was this little house next to it. And I remember the little house. And it said for lease. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I parked and I literally looked and I said, "Here, God." And he said, "Yes, here." So here I was next door to the original building where we did the abortions, where I had had my abortion, in this little house, where we would share the parking lot. And we opened the doors on July 9th, 2007.
Jeannie now counseled women supporting them in their decision to value life. As part of that counsel, she'd share what had happened to her next door.
I would point to the building, to the women that came in, those that I felt that needed to hear a little bit more, and told them what my experience was, what had happened right there. And I just, one day I told the president of the ministry, "You know what? I don't want to point at the building anymore. I want to trust God to be in the building."
Jeannie remembers the day this exact opportunity opened up.
It was a day that a neighboring church had come to pray. You know how sometimes churches come to pray at the pregnancy center? The pastors that had come, We had prayed that day for that building, because that was always like the possibility of, wow, You know, if we could get this original building, that would be such an answer to prayer. They had just left. And as they left from praying, the phone rang. The president was at the clinic that day, and it was the owner of the building asking us. I ran out to the parking lot, and I told the pastors, wait, don't leave, don't leave. Look what just happened. And so that's what happened.
So now, in that very location where Jeannie used to help women end the lives of their children, she's on the front lines of helping women embrace life.
I walk through there, and I don't want to forget it all because I know how important it is, you know, to remember of why I do what I do. But today there's laughter in there. Today there's women that are hearing their baby's heartbeats and are getting an opportunity to have their babies. That's what I'm there to do today, to encourage them.
There are many dark parts of Jeannie's story, but God is now using that story to show his power to change a life and encourage others.
I've had the opportunity to go to China, to Vietnam, to Colombia, to Cuba, which I'm working very actively in right now, to Mexico, to Peru, to Kazakhstan, to all of these countries where abortion is so prevalent. Today, God has opened up not just Miami-Dade County, but the world, because women need to hear that there are people that are out there that are going to help them to have their babies.
Yesterday, we heard how, as a 14-year-old, Jeannie had dreamed of being a doctor. The path of her life took her far from that goal. But we asked if that 14-year-old Jeannie could see herself now, what would she think?
She would be very proud of what she's doing right now because I'm a doctor for God. I speak life and I help women make the right decisions in so many ways. I help them to understand that they can have their babies.
Jeannie stays involved with vulnerable women there in Miami because the need is so great. And she says that you can get involved right where you are.
I would say if they could find out where their local pregnancy help clinic is, and even if they have 2 hours a week that they can come and they can be trained and they could be there to help the women. You know, we realize that if you help the woman, you save the baby. We know if anything happens and we know where the baby's going, it's the mom that we're really focusing on. She needs to know who she is in Christ. You know, she needs to know that there are other options. She needs to know how valuable she is. And, you know, and once again, these centers, they don't just run off the energy, you know, of God. They need the financial help. You know, if everyone does a little bit, then these centers can be, I know that for here in Miami, you know, we need the monthly donors so that we can provide the services, so that we can keep these clinics open. And we want to train, you know, volunteers, and we need staff as well. You know, we need women that really want to come and be a voice for the voiceless and be a mom to these girls that maybe don't have a mom, or so many of them come from other countries and they have no help. And that's what makes the difference.
Wow, Nancy, that is a powerful call for all of us to get involved in supporting life in some way.
That's right, Dana. And I do hope that many of our listeners will find a pregnancy care center in their area and get involved in some way. You know, it's striking how God brought women into Jeannie's life at crucial times in her journey. And those women had compassionate eyes to see a woman who was in need. And maybe more importantly, they had the courage to get involved, to start a conversation, to set aside their own agendas, to sacrifice their time for someone else. And now, as a result of the investment of those women, Jeannie is sharing the gospel and speaking up for life around the world. And I just hope that each of us will be on the lookout for those God-ordained opportunities.
You know, Jeannie's story has pointed our attention to the upcoming anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision. Now, this isn't the kind of anniversary we like to celebrate, but instead, we want to mark it as a reminder to keep fighting for life. If you are married, Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth reminds you that your husband's sin doesn't give you a free pass to sin.
You don't have to let a harsh, badly behaved man turn you into a harsh, badly behaved woman.
Helpful lessons from the life of Abigail, and we're going to get more practical advice from Nancy on how to apply this teaching next week on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth wants to courageously celebrate life. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.